Welcome back, each and every one of you. Thanks for tuning in again. We're so glad you looked to your app and said, where's Christian Sinners Report? Here we are. Pastor Tim Karskatten here, doing our Purim celebration this week, but telling the story so that we can learn from it. Our focus this week is to speak out or face exile. But we can learn. This is a now story for where we are in time. All right, let's learn from it.
Your head down, there's a time, but it's not now. Sometimes you gotta go uninvited. Sometimes you gotta speak when you don't have the floor. Sometimes you gotta move when everybody.
Well, those sometimes are now. This is a now word for us. And you know the story of the queen when she was not really supposed to go into the king, she did. And God spared her life. And gave us grace and gave her grace for the nation. Well, welcome. It's Tuesday, the 19th day of March, 2024. We're moving toward Purim, which is the evening 23rd, 24th of this month. And this is why we're having Adar 2 this year, because it has to be before Passover, Pesach. And because of a leap year, there was this additional time given. I think that's a picture. God's given us an additional time to celebrate and fight the fight for our nations, our families, or even our own lives. That's our passion. I don't want to go into exile. I don't want anybody to go through a wilderness season if they don't have to, by speaking out. It's silence, you know, by itself is dangerous, because silence sometimes is actually being guilty, because you're not being faithful to speak out where you're supposed to speak out. I'm trying on this little podcast. I try wherever God gives me an opportunity. I get myself in trouble. I say things at places I probably shouldn't say them in the natural, don't get invited back, but I know I'm supposed to say those things. Because I'm concerned for a nation, for a city. I've shared that story before. I was with a bunch of mega church pastors in my own city, and they were bragging about how we were such a Bible-believing city, number two in America and all this stuff, and our city was so dark. And I, you know, there's my mouth. I pop off and I said, in this mega church leaders, I said, well, you know, it may be true, gentlemen, but the fact is our city's in utter darkness. And I said, the scripture, Jesus said, woe unto the city. It'd be easier, better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. If they had had the light that you had, it'll be easier for them on the day of judgment than you. And I just, boy, silence entered the room. I never got invited back to that meeting. I'm sure they mocked me, like, what's wrong with him? Why does he have to have such an attitude? I wasn't having an attitude. Literally, the Holy Spirit had me say it. And because I don't want my city to be deceived and thinking we're good when we're not. Because I don't want my city going to exile. I want my city going to breakthrough. And we're moving in our city, as we've been telling you about. We've been breaking through in a lot of areas in our community, in the political arena. The mayor attends our congregation. We were helpful. God used us to help him, and he's helped us in a lot of ways, the city. And so we're excited about that. That's just an amazing gift that God gave, and I don't want to miss the opportunities when they come to us, okay? So we were telling our story yesterday. We gave the facts of why Israel is in exile. It's because they sinned. It says that in 2 Kings 17. Because they sinned against the Lord their God, and they who brought them up, who delivered them, and they had feared other gods. That's what it said. And then they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, some of them thought, one of the kings didn't think he did as bad, and he thought he'd have grace. Look, you can't expect grace from God just because you say, oh, well, I'm not sinning as bad as somebody else, and then expect God's grace on your life. We can't expect that for our nation. Well, at least we're not like, you know, China. We're not like whatever. No, sin is sin. That's where we are. So resistance to God is the root of sin. Look at the Garden of Eden. They resisted God's plan. You know, this is a compromise that they made. They questioned God. I think it's a greater, Derek Prince used to say, you know, pride, we always say, is the number one rooted sin, which it is to some level, but really The questioning of God is a bigger, big one, because you can't question God's ways. So if you want to know what life was like in Israel in the latter years of the Northern Kingdom, you need to read the book of Amos. It's horrible. I mean, that book will mess you up a little bit. It says that they were arrogant of the rich. They were ignoring the poor. They were corruption in business and politics. They were violence in the streets, society sick to the core. They burned their children at the altars. You know, this is just where they were. So when you say, why would God send them into exile? Isn't that horrible that they're at the hands of the enemy, the Persians, the Syrians? Well, look, that's what was going on. Now, I want you to think about that. Is that possibly happening in our countries? Is there arrogance of the rich? Are we ignoring the true poor? Not the, you know, people who don't want to do anything to help themselves, but I'm talking about the true poor. Is there corruption in business and politics? Is there violence in the street? Is society sick to the core? Are we destroying the unborn? Burning the children at the altars of abortion clinics? Hello? If any nation, America, I can say this for America, it's my country, if any nation deserves to go in exile, it's us. And yet, thank God for a remnant of people that are saying, God, we're crying out. Israel didn't seem to have enough of that going on, a crying out, and so they had to go in exile. Redemptive, right? Because God wanted to break them, get them down to where the place they become humble, and then they say, God, we want to serve you again, and go back, and which they did when we get to Nehemiah and Ezra. Zechariah, we get into all those books, we see that, right? So the first change the Lord brings charge against, I'm sorry, first charge the Lord brings against them is that they worshiped and feared or served other gods. So that's a sign to us. Where are we as a people? Are we worshiping other gods? Do we fear other gods? Do we fear the God of climate change? I'm telling you, that's an ideology. That's a religion. That we fear the gods of power, the gods of influence? You know, are we worshiping at movie theaters rather than at the throne of God? You know, whatever. It can be so many things that are modern. We don't have to look at it like they did. So resisting God is found in the first four commandments of God himself, about God himself. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first one. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and you shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. These commandments are all about our relationship with the Lord. And this is called godliness. And Jesus made this his primary command. You shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That explains the division. They couldn't love because they didn't love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. Because if you can't love your neighbor, that means you're not loving the Lord that way. Hello? All right, this is a wake-up call to us where we are in our nation. I shared yesterday when I watched this interview with two guys who hated each other. I think about that. Lord, do I hate everybody that doesn't agree with me? I'm not saying I'm going to agree with what they believe. I'm not. I'm not going to pardon that. But can I find a way to love my neighbor? Maybe my neighbor is to find a way, a unique way to get them and speak truth over their life. Not that I'm going to try to convince them. Ask the Holy Spirit to get inside their hearts. Now, the last six commandments, he calls us into righteousness, how we relate to one another. Loving God first and love for others flows out of that. So when you see a nation divided like Israel at that time, it's because they didn't love the Lord their God. When a nation turns away from God, listen to me, righteousness will begin to fall away. The love of many will wax cold, right? The righteousness will begin to fall away. Sin will take root when you turn your hearts and when our nation turns their hearts from God and fail all the way to them destroying their own children. The inheritance for the future. Abortion is the last sign of a lost society. Recent victories is critical, and it bought us some time. We've seen that. We have. We saw that, you know, the Roe versus Wade in America get overturned last year. It bought us some time. When you're destroying the future, you're destroying the purpose of a nation. Now, right now, with the trans movement and the mutilation of children trying to change their sexes, what are you doing? You're doing the same thing. You're destroying the productivity of a people that will not reproduce because they're losing their sexual organs. So there'll be no reproduction. So it's the same thing. It's just manifesting in a different way. Look, you cannot have righteousness without godliness. There's no way. Now, people want all the benefits of righteousness, which is peace and safety, joy in the Holy Spirit, right? Safety for us, for our families. But does society want that from which the root it flows? Okay. They're trying to accomplish it through the idolatry of government. Recently, in America, on a national news broadcast, they mocked Christians because they said because Christians say their rights come from God. They believe the government will give the rights. Of course, they were ignorant on this show because they think the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, says we do get rights from government. That's not what it says. The Bill of Rights of our Constitution says you have the right to have your God-given rights. That's what it says. It's kind of a farce. They're ignorant at such a level. But anyway, so you see that in a society, but society wants that peace and that safety, but they want it to flow from the government, not from God. If you want that, it sounds good, but without God, those people are godless people. And if you serve the idolatry or idol of man, cursed is the one who looks to man for strength. If you serve humanism that way, you are godless, and God's response will, I'll send you into exile. We don't want that for our nations, do we? We don't want it for our own lives, our own families. Look at your families that are back, family people that are backslid. What have they done? They put their trust in man, their job, whatever, and they didn't turn into God, and God puts up with them for a long time, fights with them, contends with them. But finally, if they're going to say, look, I don't want you, God. I don't need you. I'll find my own peace and safety on my own. God says, fine, I'll let you go into exile. He will. Morality comes from somewhere, doesn't it? Well, it comes from God himself. Listen to me. All other definitions of morality or sin outside of God is eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it will always, always produce death. God holds the world accountable for all sin. Now, in that passage of 2 Kings, let me keep reading here, verses 15 through 17. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant, which he made with their fathers, and his warnings with which he warned them, and they followed vanity and became vain. They went after the nations which surrounded them, concerning which the Lord had commanded them not to do like them. They forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves molten images of even two calves. And they made Asherah, and they worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And then they made their sons and daughters pass through the fire and practice divination and enchantments. And they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him. Listen to me. 200 years of sin had been recorded by its leaders first and the people that never rose up to remove these evil leaders. So don't sit here and tell me God's a God of judgment and wrath of the Old Testament. 200 years. America is 200 plus years old. He has given us grace too. God doesn't hammer right away. So we have to be at this place and recognize we are in a moment of grace, and we better take advantage of that. We better speak out lest we go into exile. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. It's a good stopping point because I still got some more revelation to bring in tomorrow. This ought to resonate with you where we are as a people. God has every right to send our nations and send our families sometimes, or even some of our friends and so forth, into exile because of their choices. But he's given us grace. Now he's given a word recently, as I gave last week, the flood that's coming. God wants to pull the drain plug and give us another opportunity. He's raising up a standard against the enemy. We have a chance. Let's press into this moment right now. Let this week of Purim say to yourself, Lord, let me be an Esther. Lord, let me not try to just save my own skin, but let me save a people. Let me not be selfish, but let me be selfless. To save a people, to cry out for a nation, cry out for my family, cry out for my city. Lord, I pray that would be our passion today. Everybody listen to this 318 Company. God, I thank you that you're using us right now to be voices of prayer, voices of reason in the earth. But let us cry out according to your will in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. All right, come back tomorrow. We'll keep building on this. Well, thanks for listening each and every day here on our daily podcast. We are talking about the Feast of Purim. So join us this Sunday, the 24th, either live or you can watch us online and catch this revelation. We have a special service planned for both our children and our adults. We're excited about that. Thank you for sowing. We're fighting the fight, and we're on the field right now. As you listen to this, we're in Japan. Thank you for supporting us. We bless you. We'll see you again next week. God bless. Love you guys.